Next item on the agenda is page 48, Human Services.
Good evening, Meg Underwood, Human and Senior Services. The budget for Human Services this year is basically the same as last year. It's been level funded.
Thank you. Any questions? Yes, Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. So, Meg, the same question, your budget, this is something that you can live with?
Yes.
Okay. Have you had any salary increases beyond contractual or step increases?
In this department, there were some changes made mid-year. There was a decrease in one salary and an increase in another.
So what was the salary in the job description that was decreased?
The one that was decreased was actually, it was a position that was eliminated. It was the Director of Human Services and Family Support that was replaced by a juvenile coordinator. And
wait a minute, hold on, back up.
Sure.
Did you say that the Director of Human Services position was eliminated?
That's my understanding, yes.
And that position was replaced by whom?
It was replaced by a juvenile coordinator who is in charge of the truancy court and the juvenile hearing board. So the youth programs on the sort of on the school side of things.
And the elimination of that position, as I recall, was done under the prior administration, Scott Avedisian's administration, correct?
That is correct.
So what was done was the Director of Human Services, let me back up, the position that replaced the Director of Human Services, does that person have the same experience, qualifications, training, knowledge, etc., of a Director of Human Services?
As far as I know, yes, she does.
As far as you know, she does?
Yes. My understanding is that, I mean, she was in that position, so yes.
She was in that position of Director of Human Services?
I think there's a question. It was called the Director of Human Services and Family Support last year. In prior years, it was called the Director of Family Support, so I think there was a little bit of a gray area, but in the documentation I have, it was the Director of Human Services and Family Support.
Was that director in the gray area from last year to 15 years or more back, was that director the same person?
Yes.
Okay. And that same person who filled the Director of Human Services, and then it was something else the year before and for the previous 15 years or so, was in fact the same person?
Yes.
And this new person that replaced or took over a position that was eliminated, you are saying that person has the same experience, training, knowledge, etc., of the Director of Human Services?
In light of the fact that it is the same person, then yes.
No, it's not the same person, though. You said it's a different person.
No. The person who is now the juvenile coordinator held the position that was in the documentation last year as the Director of Human Services and Family Support.
Okay.
Those two.
What position has, you said the position was eliminated, Director of Human Services was eliminated, so it's gone. So
that's my understanding.
Is there someone doing that job now?
The positions, there were two positions in Human Services. One was the project coordinator, and one that is now called the juvenile project coordinator, I think it's called. So those duties were split up between those two people. The same duties just split up between the two people who used to form the Human Services Department.
So before we eliminated the Director of Human Services position, it was one person doing the job of a project coordinator and a juvenile advocate coordinator? Do I understand that correctly?
No, there were two positions. The project coordinator remains the same. That position was under Human Services, still is, still called project coordinator.
And the juvenile advocate coordinator, does that position pay the same as the position that person had as director of human services?
No, it does not.
It does not. And how much less does that pay?
I believe it is around $8,000.
About $8,000. That's pretty accurate. So what's happened in this department is we eliminated a position, put that position or that person in another position called juvenile advocate coordinator for $8,000 a year less.
Yes.
So the director of human services position has never been filled.
It is my understanding that it has never been filled, correct.
And that,
that
position was,
last held was by
approximately $75,000. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And I believe you said your budget is about the same?
The budget for human services remains the same.
In spite of the elimination of a position of $75,000?
I was asked to keep that salary line item in the human services budget. The position itself is supervised by the police department. I think they felt that that was a good place for it to go with the truancy court and the juvenile hearing board. I do not supervise that position.
Okay. No, I understand. But the reality is there's $75,000 in this budget because you had said it was level funded. So there's $75,000 in a position of the Director of Human Services that is not filled.
The position of human services and family support was removed. The juvenile advocate was added. The two positions in human services add up to the same as they did before, and that is why they're level funded. I think that in addition to the fact that contributive support was reduced.
So the project coordinator, let me back up. Is there anyone in this department that has received a payroll increase, a salary increase beyond contractual and step increases?
The project coordinator did, yes.
The project coordinator. And how much was that increase?
I believe it was between $6,000 and $8,000.
13.4%. Is that pretty accurate? That
could be correct, yeah. Yes.
It's correct. It's 13.4%. And what was the reason for that position being increased to that degree?
Because of the increased responsibilities of that position. When the two were divided, the position of project coordinator took on some of the responsibilities that had been with the human services supervisor.
Does this person work any additional hours than they worked before?
No.
Still, what, 35 hours a week?
Still the same number of hours, yes.
So in 35 hours, essentially one person can only do so much, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And because this person has some additional duties to fill up those, and this was testified to by another department, which I've got the notes on anyways, because this department position has increased duties to fill up the 8-hour time frame, the salary was increased by 13.4%.
That is my understanding. It was not my, I was not in charge of the department.
I understand. Meg, this isn't a personal.
Okay.
This is a business. These are business questions.
I understand.
These are finance questions that I'm responsible to ask, and this is information that on behalf of the taxpayers, responsible to get.
I understand.
Particularly where we've been handed a maintenance budget. And as we're seeing from the questions this evening and the responses and some of these things that have surfaced, this maintenance budget certainly is going to require significant maintenance by this city council. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Councilman Howe.
Thank you, Mr. President. So again, I want to reiterate what the chairman said. So you're level funded, and okay. The position of juvenile advocate coordinator, if I'm understanding correctly, is the same person that used to have the title Director of Human Services and Family Service.
That is correct.
That is a reduction. So line item, it went from 419 to job code 421, which is a reduction for that one.
That is
the way it balanced out is the amount that was the Project of Human Services transferred over to the Juvenile Advocate Coordinator, that then got applied to job code 417. So basically, that all the money from that reduction in salary just went to the Project Coordinator at an increase of 13.4%.
That's correct, Councilman, yes.
13.4. Okay, thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Any other council members have questions? If not, any members of the public? Yes.
Stacia Heiler, Ward 9. So when was this juvenile advocate coordinator position filled, please? Because you said that the director's position was never filled. So that was so roughly 73,611 just floating around. So when did you apply that money to the juvenile advocate coordinator position? Is that how this is working? Or is that money still left over? Because the director position was never filled.
Again, I know that there is some gray area regarding the Director of Human Services. My understanding on that position was that position was never filled. However, the Director of Family Support took over some of the responsibilities of the Director of Human Services. So the Family Support Director took on those responsibilities, even though it was not technically filled. That was the Director of Human Services was an unclassified position years ago that was over both the Family Support Services and the Senior Services divisions. Somewhere along the line it got changed, and maybe that position was formally given to the person who's now the juvenile advocate coordinate. I don't know. I haven't seen the green slips. I don't know. But there is no money floating around. The human services director position was never, to my understanding, actually filled. There were two division chiefs that were given money, and the director's position was never filled, again, to my understanding.
Yes, Councilman Lattisaw.
Thank you, Mr. President. Meg, you say family support services position.
Correct.
Where do I find that in the Human Services Administration page? Am I not looking on the right page?
Now, on the budget, those two have been put together as one, Human Services and Family Support. They had been separated at one point. Again, I can't tell you from a personnel perspective what the official title for the person who is named as the Human Services and Family Support Director is. I can't tell you from a personnel standpoint. I can only tell you from my recall as to how it went. I don't know if.
So then, when you're referring to Family Support Services position, when we're looking at the personnel supplement,
there is no such thing there as family support. Last year it was with the Human Services Director and Family Support. This year it is that is gone, and it's replaced by Juvenile Advocate Coordinator. But if you look in last year's, it was there as Human Services and Family Support.
Okay, Director of Human Services and Family Support.
Correct.
That was last year.
Correct.
And that's a position that was held primarily by the same person for about 18 years.
Correct.
Okay. And then was abolished.
Yes.
And we had a project coordinator before.
That is correct.
and we had a director of human services. So those two positions were $125,000, thereabouts, between those two positions. Now we've eliminated the director of human services, and we have a juvenile advocate coordinator, which has a separate job description altogether, and a project coordinator.
Correct.
So what happened here is exactly what we've been talking about, I guess. That position was eliminated. It was cut back from a $74,000 salary to about a $66,000 salary and reclassified as a juvenile advocate coordinator.
Yes.
And as it stands right now, that is the same person who used to be the Director of Human Services and Family Support, correct?
Again, the title itself, I'm going to have to refer to personnel because I'm not sure that that was ever an official title made through the personnel department.
But that is.
But that's how it was done in the budget.
Right. That's the fact. So the fact
that is a fact.
The person that was in that position of Director of Human Services and Family Support is now the director, is now the juvenile advocate coordinator, which was the same person that was doing two jobs before with the project coordinator.
No, that's not true. Oh. The project coordinator and the head of family services and family support worked together on a number of different items. Those positions were separated so that everything having to do with the school department, the juvenile hearing board, and the truancy court were given to the juvenile advocate coordinator. The project coordinator, who had been working with these items also all along, was given the remaining responsibilities of those two positions.
And you said, and I didn't pick up on it the first time, but you said that this is a service, or partially the service that's provided to the school department?
Well, the juvenile hearing board and truancy court are both, yes, they're linked to the school department, and I think that's why that those were separated out from the other responsibilities, yeah.
So that's a service? Is that a service that we're providing to the school department?
Yes, I would say it is, yes.
And is the city being compensated for that service?
Not to my knowledge.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Yes.
It still sounds to me as if that the position, this new position, was created. So if they never filled the director's position at $73,000, this new position was created in this budget, then, and you have the funding for that, even though it's a little bit less, that money was still floating around. Whether or not somebody else from another position was covering or taking over, the bottom line is that that position, the director's position, was funded and it was budgeted, but it was never filled. So I just wanted to make that point clear. Last year, I remember, just so everyone in the audience understands what we're talking about, I know that we're just talking about funding for these this salary position here. We're looking at approximately 30 different human services in our city. These are social service programs that we have a $310 million budget, and I know I bring this up and I also blog about it as well. We have a $310 million budget and looking at approximately 30 social service programs in our city that we give $150,000 to. These are programs like substance abuse counseling, domestic abuse, people with disabilities, you name it. And we hold the line. We hold the line very tightly on social service programs in our city. $150,000 a year, we've never gone over. It's been years since we've gone over that. My question is, I look at Shalom Housing, The Impossible Dream, Meals on Wheels. We gave them $500 to Meals on Wheels. They spent $500. But I see programs like, for example, the actual expenses. So even though, for example, like the Rhode Island Mentoring Partnership, we give them $2,200, they actually spend the $5,000. So all of these different social human service programs, they went over a little bit. Where do we pull the money from to allocate it back? Because if we only give them $150,000, they actually spent $176,000. They clearly need more. Last year, I remember questioning the department heads. Some of them came up. I don't think it was you, Meg. It was somebody else. But I remember the woman telling me that what they really need is double, $300,000, $400,000, and they never get it. We only budget $150,000 for the most needy people in our city, the people that need it. We see them out on our street corners panhandling. We see them, we know that they're there, they need help, but we never seem to find the money to help these people and help these programs. So that's my question. I don't know if Meg can answer this, but so when we go over, they need more. Where is that being pulled from in the budget? Thank you.
The $176,000 figure was what was allocated last year. It had been... The contributive support was $150,000 every year until, I'm going to say, 4 years ago, when there was a special fund set up for the Trudeau Center. Last year, may have been 2 years ago, no, it was definitely last year, that fund was separated, instead of going to Trudeau, was separated amongst all of those who applied for contributive support. That extra funding, that extra $26,000, was not in the budget this year. $150,000 was approved this year, and $150,000 was given to those agencies this year.
I have both been spent this year. Yeah. Okay. So you said the Trudeau Center. So the Trudeau Center last year, we budgeted, where is it here? Can't find it right now. $13,000, and this year we're budgeting. So it says, so fiscal 17 year actual expenses $13,500. As of May 2018, we're at $12,500.
Again, this is what we gave them last year.
$13,500. So are we giving them $1,000 less this year?
In addition to this, there was a separate fund.
Please use the microphone.
Yeah.
In FY17 and for a few years prior, in addition to the regular contributive support, the J. Arthur Trudeau Center had a particular program that we were financing, that we were helping with that particular program. So in addition to this $13,500, they got another pot of money, which I think was around $25,000, $26,000. So that is gone in this, the $26,000, and so that $26,000 was added to the total of the 150 that we had for everything, and that was split among all of the contributive support requests. And this year we were given 150,000. It was approved very recently. The committee met. The mayor approved the expenses, and those monies have been doled out to the various nonprofits. Okay.
Thank you, Meg. So what is this line item, 46487, I've always wondered, because it's the one that receives the most funding at $16,000 out of the $150,000. Is that volunteer? Volunteers of Warwick Schools. What does that cover, please, the $16,000?
All the services for volunteers in Warwick Schools.
I don't have their application in front of me, but I think it is mostly administrative costs. The head of that program, the chair, does receive a salary. I don't have that in front of me, but I believe it goes mostly toward administrative costs to for the volunteers of Warwick Schools who work in all the schools in Warwick. They work in the classrooms, they bring programs to the schools. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but it's a very active agency, and I'm sure there are teachers here who could vouch for
Mary
that.
Mary can do it.
Mr. President, I think somebody's behind you might want to answer that.
I would really like to understand a little bit more if we're funding this specific line item in our social service program budget.
I think she's going to ask
it. I'd like to know the details of what exactly they do in our Warwick schools. Thank you very much.
Mr. President.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman.
If I may, through the chair, ask a question of Stacia. Stacia, would you please come back to the mic? The question you asked just before this one.
Yes.
I wasn't clear on the question, and I wasn't clear on the answer. Could you repeat that question, please?
About going over the the Trudeau Center. Mm-hmm. So, actual expenses for fiscal year 17 was $176,000, but we only budget $150,000. So my question was, why did that happen?
Okay.
And then Meg explained the difference came from extra funding to Trudeau, and then it was dispersed amongst the various other social service programs. Is that right,
Meg? Lynn?
Yeah.
Could you shed some additional light on that?
Our budget that year in 17 was $177,000. We spent $176,000. We didn't go over budget.
Sorry. So I have it right here. It was we budgeted.
I don't know how to read it.
Went over, or did we?
Oh no. Yeah. This is 16 here. We budgeted 150. Spent 150. In 17, we budget 177. We spent 176.
Okay. And what are we budgeting this year? 150?
150.
And it's already been.
Okay. Correct.
So it was 150. It was 170. It went up 177. Yeah. So this actually, thank you, comes down to another point. We actually went up. I apologize. Okay, I thought it was 150. So we actually went up. We budgeted more, and now we're back down again to 150. We're holding the line at $150,000 for all of our social service programs in the city of Warwick.
Thank you.
And yeah, I'd like the details on the $16,000, please, for our public schools.
For the vows, yeah.
Mr. President, a follow-up question, if I may.
Can we just get the answer to that one, then I can follow?
Yeah, go ahead.
Does somebody have a question on what the $16,000 is spent on vows?
Good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry. Mary Townsend, I am the chairman of the Volunteers of Warwick Schools Board of Directors, of which the Honorable Donna Travis is also a board member. The $16,000 contributive support has come from the distributed monies from the city to support the volunteer work that we do. We are a nonprofit agency. We also receive support from Warwick Public Schools. We service the students of Warwick Public Schools through our volunteer hours, our programs, etc. And I would be happy to speak with Ms. Heiler at a later time to give her a fuller picture. But I just wanted to say thank you to the city for all it does to support volunteers at Warwick Schools.
I think, does that include testing?
Yes,
there's a whole list
we
of what they do.
We comply with the state.
Yeah.
The requirements for the state of the Rhode Island Department of Education to screen 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds preschool screenings. We have to reach a certain percentage, and that is all coordinated and organized through the VOWS office.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. It's good to, I think this is the first we're ever hearing of this at a budget meeting. I don't remember ever talking about this. I've been coming here for
I can
about
remember.
6 years. I don't recall.
Yeah.
But it's good to know. So the volunteers of Warwick Public Schools, just so I have it clear, they administer, so it's servicing student programs for preschool screenings, like, for example, like what, educational purposes, or could we get...
Yeah, I think she said she'll provide you with
a list of all the services.
Yeah.
And how do we determine how we're allocating? So out of our $150,000, and I believe she just said that you were the board, you run this program, or you're the board member, or chairwoman?
I'm a board member.
You're the board member. How do we determine, out of the $150,000, like how are we deciding...
This council can amend any line item. It was a previous administration that did that, and your point's well taken as to whether we should increase funding or we shouldn't. This council has the ability to do that, and considering this year's budget, we can certainly consider it.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I think most people here are looking at the school department, not... Okay. Go ahead, Councilman.
Meg, this is a quick question. So in the proposed budget for $150,000, why isn't the individual contributions listed for each different agency? It's a flat budget of $150,000, but it's not telling us who's getting what, like Shalom, Kent County, et cetera.
It should, the document I sent you today should give you under each of those line items what each of those organizations is getting. So we began the application process in March. There is a committee that is appointed that listens to the applications, that all of the agencies come in and sort of plead their case. The committee makes recommendations, those are sent to the mayor, and the mayor approves them or changes them. But normally at this time of year, that hasn't been decided. This year, we purposely did this ahead of time so that you would have the numbers on your desk at this point.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. No more questions on human services. I don't think I'm putting human services on next year before schools. Okay, next item is senior center, and that's 50.
Okay, again, this is a level funded budget. Do you have any questions?
Level funded, it's senior services. Any questions from council members? Councilman Lattisaw.
Meg, again, a budget that you're comfortable with?
Yes.
Okay. Any salary increases beyond contractual or step increases in this budget?
In FY18, there were three increases. The director received an increase. The center manager received an increase. She had taken on, actually this may have happened before the budget, she had taken on additional responsibilities as a center manager, and also because of the need in social services, we were reluctant to take her out of social services completely because she has a wealth of knowledge, and we have more and more requests all of the time for help with seniors and finances and Medicare and SNAP applications and on and on and on. So because of that, she received an increase. Oh, and the nurse also. The nurse's position was split between human services and senior services, and I think we took, the senior services took the bulk of her increase. That position is currently vacant.
So with that person that received, the first person you spoke to that received the increase beyond step and contractual, you said that was because of additional duties that were assigned to that person. So does that mean someone that was doing those duties before that position has been vacated?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that, Councilman?
You had said the individual that received the raise above and beyond contractual and step was given that increase because of additional duties that was assigned.
Correct.
So does that mean those duties that were being performed by someone else, that position was eliminated, or it was somebody's duties were
reduced? No, this is a center manager position who is responsible for all the programming that happens at the center, a lot of special events, organizing. She heads up all the volunteers, of which we have almost 200. So it's a pretty significant position. In addition to that, though, because we felt like we needed more support in social services, and because she really enjoyed that part of her former position with the senior center, we asked her if she could take on those responsibilities, and she did with some additional.
And what was that title again on that position?
That's the center manager. I think that's how it's in here.
Senior center manager?
Yes.
And how much was that increase above and beyond contractual?
I think it was 6,000.
So that's in excess of a 10% increase over contractual and step.
Yes. And again, I have to qualify that by I'm not sure if that happened when she took the position or at the time of the budget last year. I honestly don't remember, and I apologize for not having the year before's budget in front of me.
Was that position last year, was that position called project coordinator?
Yes.
I've got a paint.
I'm not sure why it was ever changed to that. It had been center manager for decades prior to that. I'm not sure why the name was changed at one point.
And the job code was changed. It was changed from 417 to 420.
Correct. And that was to include, the job description had to be rewritten to include those social services responsibilities, which were not in the purview of the former project manager, whatever we called it.
So essentially it was a title that was eliminated, another position, and it was reclassified and boosted with a 10% increase.
Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions from City Council members? Councilman Al.
Just one, Mr. President. Could you, job code 122, it shows a...
I stand corrected. Yes, there is an increase in that. This is a part-time position. It pays barely minimum wage. The position entails a lot more than it would appear. When our kitchen manager is out, the dining room aide has to take over his position, meaning he has to be licensed for food handling. He has to drive to Cranston to pick up the food for anywhere from 30 to 100 people. He has to bring it back and serve it. So for 10 bucks an hour, it seemed a little bit much to be asking. And we had lost a couple of people just because of that reason. And so I had asked that person be paid according to the responsibilities that he has.
And how many hours is the part-time per week?
Normally it's 19, but when the center manager is out, it increases to 25, perhaps.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. President.
Is there any other questions regarding human services? I'm sorry, senior centers. Yes.
Hi, I'm Jen Moffitt. Not so much a question as a point regarding all of human services. We're at a junction right now where we're really struggling with our schools and our children. And everybody's trying to figure out why. Everybody wants to know why we're having all these problems. And the problems are multifaceted. We have a lot of issues with our families, parents working two jobs, our kids are being lost. We all agree that teachers shouldn't have to be social workers. They shouldn't have to raise our children. So why are we cutting human services? Why are we cutting the programs that are going to help these children and give them something to do after school, somewhere to go, some outlet, some people to listen to them and help them where nobody else is? I agree. The teachers shouldn't have to do that. You're right. But who's doing it? We're cutting the services that are the ones that are going to be helping these kids? And I'm going to get to the elderly. I work with the elderly every day. I'm not going to go there because I don't have enough time tonight. We need to be focusing on sharing and helping each other. We're going to get up. I can only imagine what's going to come up after this. I can imagine with the schools, everybody's going to be fighting. But we need to all come together and figure out a way to help each other. The schools need to be helping human services. Human services needs to be helping with the schools. We all need to work together and stop fighting over the little stuff and figuring out how to help these kids. Our kids are falling apart. Tollgate School had two overdoses in a fight that put a kid in the hospital. What is happening? These kids are so stressed out and so overwhelmed, and they don't even know what to do themselves, and we're not helping them. We aren't helping them at all. And I think we need to think about this when we look at these budgets. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
I couldn't agree with what Jennifer just said more. A lot of people, they misconstrue where I come from and where I'm at. All I want to see is that there's fairness across the board. There's fairness for the taxpayers, and it's also going back, and we're reinvesting in the people that need it the most, and we're not doing that. We see our taxes go up every single year, and we know where the tax dollars are going. Who's sucking all of our money away? So as far as the senior citizens go in the services, I was just curious to know, since we shut down the Buttonwoods Community Center, something else that was serving a great purpose in that part of the city, the Buttonwoods Community Center, because we wanted to save money, you know, let's go after all the different ways we can, let's go after the most vulnerable to save money. That's how we, that was under the Avedisian administration. I look forward to this new administration not continuing along that path. So Meg, have you seen a lot of, you know, higher traffic flow coming through because we did shut down the Buttonwoods Community Center? Do you see more seniors wanting to utilize the services at Pilgrim? I don't know if you can talk to that, or how did that change? Thank you.
So in answer to your question, yes, we saw a huge increase in the number of people that we were seeing at Pilgrim. We accommodated their programs as best we could. So yes, we did the best we could to help those folks. I think one good thing that has come out of that, the change of having more seniors at Pilgrim, is that we do have what is arguably, and I think the Department of Elderly Affairs will agree with me on this, the best social services team anywhere. And when people are in a facility where those services are available, they are less hesitant to reach out and ask for help. So I think that has been a positive, but yes, we are full.
Thank you. Is there any other members of the public that wanted to ask any questions? If not, we'll move on to senior transportation on page 51.
So Bob Smith, our transportation planner, is going to join me. This is another budget which is basically level funded. I have to note that there is an error in the personnel supplement. The transportation dispatcher full-time 36091 was something that we had requested last year in hopes of a couple of things. We have seen a 25% increase in ridership in Transwick, and keeping drivers who are able to keep up with those numbers is getting increasingly difficult. The transportation dispatcher, we had hoped, would serve part-time basically as a dispatcher and part-time as a driver for these folks to get them to buy their groceries and to go to the pool and the library and the senior center and what have you. That position was denied last year, and yet it's for some reason back in this budget. So there is a discrepancy in the budget that should be technically level funded. I'm going to turn it over to Bob, but I think the one thing that we would agree is that because of the increased ridership, because of the increased numbers that we're dealing with, and Bob can give you those numbers, we're talking hundreds upon hundreds of trips every week. Our diesel fuel, the 21,000, we're going to exceed that this year, and I expect that's just going to get higher next year. That's the one line item that I, for one, am not comfortable with. So,
thank you. Do we have any questions? Yes, Councilman Lattiser.
Thank you, Mr. President. Meg, your point is well taken with the increased cost of transportation. I mean, we can see it at the gas pumps. But how much of an impact has it had on your transportation, your drivers, the cost of fuel, et cetera, because of the closing of Buttonwoods? How has that impacted what you do?
Well, From a transportation point of view, the you've been up about 25% the past 2 years. I did notice my stats are up quite a bit. I think a lot of it, some of it is due to the closing of Buttonwoods. Some of it's due to new business, new customers, new passengers. We do not, traditionally about between 3,000 and 3,200 trips per month on the average. About a year and a half ago, we're probably doing 2,800 trips per month. So I think some of it is attributed to the closing of Buttonwoods, but some of it's attributed to new passenger and ridership.
So as a result, or one of many results of closing Buttonwoods Community Center, in addition to displacing so many seniors, in addition to the cost of the fuel, in addition to the cost of the additional drivers, time, et cetera, we also have the additional maintenance costs and wear and tear on the vehicles because of more trips back and forth to move our seniors from one place in the city to another, correct?
That is correct. We've our three oldest buses are 13 years old, and the past 18 months, we probably invested about $25,000 in repairs, not PM repairs, but regular repairs, needed repairs.
I just wanted to add to that those are city repairs. That doesn't include things like when we have wheelchair lifts that need repairs, those, unless they're very simple, have to be sent out to Massachusetts to have those repaired. So we're putting a lot of money into repairs for a very aging fleet that really needs updating desperately.
So, Mr. President, members of the council, and Mr. Mayor, here we have before us tonight certifying what this council said when the previous administration shut down the Buttonwoods Community Center. We said it was outrageous. It was outrageous to do after the election of 2016, and that it would come back to prove to be a significant error. And here you have it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the council? Yes, Councilman McAllister.
I just want to exactly agree with that. At the last year with the previous administration, they talked about how closing the Buttonwoods Community Center would save money, and we are seeing the exact opposite, just like we all said it would be. That's why we passed a resolution 9-0 to keep that open. Additional costs, transportation, repairs. We heard it earlier from the Board of Canvases. We have to look for a new place for polling location. That wasn't just Ward 7. It was Ward 6. Additional money for mailings. We have to do additional mailings to let people know. So all these things add up. And that's why we ask these questions, because it's very important the impact that it has on our citizens. One additional question, where are the buses being held, like overnight? I know they used to be at Buttonwoods. Where are we parking them?
I've got five buses at the Cooper Building, and I've got two buses parked at the Senior Center, just for logistic purposes.
All right, and there's no seniors at the Cooper Building at this time, correct? No seniors, no senior services are at the Cooper Building?
No, that's correct.
Again, the previous administration, they had indicated that one of the reasons is they were going to open this Cooper Building, have the senior services there. As I've been to the Pilgrim Senior Center many times, and Meg is correct, it's jammed. That's good. That's what we want. We want, we have a very active senior population. But again, that's another example of the past administration coming before this council. During these budget hearings, they had mentioned the Cooper Building. They would be moving senior services there. And at this time, the only thing that is there for senior services would be just parking of the buses, correct?
Yeah, when they closed the Buttonwood Center down, we moved the buses to a more secure location. Mm-hmm. There's a locked, we can lock them in the fence in the back of the building. It's more secure. We had some problems with break-ins and damage to the equipment over at Buttonwoods when no one was there.
That's another. Thank you very much for pointing that out. Vacant buildings. It attracts, again, so that's more time for repairs to do that, more time for our police department to have to go and supervise. Again, these are just some of the things. They all add up and why we take this so seriously, and that, you know, the past administration closing that building, once again, it is continuing to hurt this community. So thank you.
Yes.
Have you all been by the Buttonwoods Community Center lately to look at the property? Have you seen what the property looks like? The weeds are all overgrown. It's starting to look like the place over on West Shore next to Connecticut Liquors. Okay, there's litter all over the place, and we don't even maintain it. So then you have community blight on top of, you know, shutting down a community center. It looks terrible, too. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on this Council department?
Just one more.
Yes.
Yeah. The new mayor, Mayor Solomon, did have the city go out this week to cut the lawn, to pick up the trash and everything like that, because it is a priority for the new administration. So I just want to point that out. But previously, you are correct. It was. And that's why it was attracting people to break in and stuff like that. And that just happened this week. Again, the mayor's only been there.
Thank you. I'm glad the city got it cleaned up, because I know we went for Memorial Day weekend. I traveled down that road every day and I passed by it and I looked and I went, oh, that looks pretty disgusting. I hope it gets cleaned up. So I'm glad that it did.
Yeah. Mayor Solomon made sure that they were out there. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions on senior transportation? If not, I know Karen Jetson had just arrived from the State House and probably has good news. You got us $1 million instead of $100,000. Is that what you're going to tell us? I know that there was one question from one of our constituents. In essence, your budget's around $750,000, but your income is a little over $4 million, and it wasn't reflected how you spend that, or where that's, more importantly, where that's reflected in the budget, your spend to bring in, I would assume it's advertising and some other things.
Well, actually, just, can you hear me? I'm sorry. Is that? Can you
yes.
Hear me? Actually, the projected estimate of collections is correct, but our budget is $765 for this year.
$765, yep.
Anticipated. I think the number with the $4 million is we do collect the tax from the hotels and the meals and beverage, but that goes back to the general fund.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So we get a percentage of that.
Correct.
I think that would answer that question. Okay. So the moment we've all been waiting for, oh, we have another question.
Feeling it was going back to the general fund, but I needed to hear it. But thank you for answering that question. And the tourism programs, that was the other question I asked. Why does it jump up, please, from 223,000 as of the end of May, and then it jumps up to 439,000 by the end of June, please? Exactly. Like, what's happening from here to here? Thank you.
Well, that time period is a very high advertising time for us. Obviously, we're preparing for the summer, so we do most of our advertising and reproducing of brochures and literature during that period of time.
Thank you. Okay, next up, Mr. Thornton.
Break.
If you could come forward.
I'm gonna take
and
Mr. President.
I was just...
Could we recess briefly, Mr. President, for our setup?
Yeah.
5-minute recess, please, Mr. President.
I know that we've been here for 3 hours. I think some of us need a restroom break here. So why don't we take a 4 or 5-minute recess, if somebody could make that motion.
Thank you, Mr. Motion.
Risk. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President.
5-minute recess. Why don't we come to order? And I know the school department's up next. And I know everybody wants to spend the whole night here. And I know we're doing a slide projection, which I cannot see, so I don't want to be rude, but I'm going to move around into the audience and so I can watch also. I did want to say, I know some people weren't here at the beginning, that this budget year in particular, and Mr. Thornton tends to be overly politically correct in not advocating his positions. And I see eye to eye to, with him on a lot of issues. But I would like to draw everybody's attention to the budget address, which one sentence from former Mayor Avedisian speaks it all. As you know, he was intimately involved in the settling of the teachers' contract and suggested that it be settled. And in his parting budget address, he said, "I recommend that the Warwick Public Schools receive the same amount of appropriation from the last budget." So he level funded you. Welcome to my world. Because, as I stated in the beginning, we at the on the council side, based on maneuvers like this, are looking at about a $14.5 million deficit with schools. I know that you're asking for about $8 million more than Mayor Avedisian gave you. And for those that weren't here at the beginning at 5 o'clock, I mentioned if we had a maximum tax increase, we could raise $6.3 million. It's the first time since I've ever been here when Mayor Avedisian's been the mayor 18 years that we've had, that he's put forward a no tax increase budget. I don't know where that leaves us. I was pleased, and I appreciate everybody's patience, that parents and school department staff were, for the first time, able to listen to the other departments, and that's just a few of the departments, including human services, and what we struggle with our seniors at $150,000 a year. You haven't heard about our roads, but I think you've driven on them. So, you know, that's a concern to us. And parks and recreation and schools. Schools are certainly at the top of the list. Schools are what drive the next generation. And here we are with a $14.5 million shortfall with the ability to raise $6.3 million with potential raises in three collective bargaining units with arbitration and a fourth collective bargaining unit. And our kids are always on the short end of the stick when it comes to services because those are considered discretionary spending, books, computers, programs, and we've seen those cut over the years, just like we have with other departments that you saw tonight. I was thinking about asking for a raise of hands in this chamber to see how many of you would be back tomorrow night. So I'd like to encourage people to come not one night, but to come every night, because what goes on in other departments affects why you're here tonight. And I've sat here for a long time and I never see that, because it shouldn't be inequitable. and I see what has happened to the school department over the years and the percentage of decrease in your department compared to other departments. And children are our most valuable resource, and it's disheartening and it's upsetting. And you know, I still end up back in this seat with if you can increase it, the most we can is 6.3. After you get done with your presentation, I know that you've also advertised in the paper for an attorney to possibly sue us. So procedurally, it's not the most comfortable position to be in, just getting elected council president last week and then getting an advertisement that we haven't even made a decision, but we're gearing up for litigation. But obviously, we all know the courts cannot force a city to raise more revenue than we can possibly tax, and nor would that be considered a balance of the equities. We need a little help, because otherwise we're going to guess. And when you guess, you typically guess wrong. And I realize that there's a certain amount of expectations that departments have about whether we'll cut them or how much we'll cut them. To some extent, you know, the seller of a home always asks for one price and the buyer always comes in at another, and then at some point you end up at a fair and equitable position. I feel for the school department. I don't know why the mayor would negotiate a raise, Mayor Avedisian, former Mayor Avedisian, negotiate a raise and not fund it. I don't know why he would level fund you. It's baffling. But it puts us right back in this situation. I speak for myself. I don't speak for all the council members. I'm sure some feel the same way and some may feel other ways. But at the end of your presentation, if you can give us a bottom line number that you feel is maintenance of effort, or is it best educational practice? Is that what it is? BEP? I forget what the acronym stands for. Is that right? So I understand where you're coming from. You understand where we're coming from. If we had all the money in the world, we would, you know, be funding this more. I know, I think I had a conversation with Councilman Ricks today, and I think you had a few numbers, didn't you, Councilman Ricks, about educational formula? Do you have those numbers in front of you? If you could just repeat it for everyone.